This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour two of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We are coast to coast, as always. Michael out at his office in Jersey. I'm live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Got a great hour ahead on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Coming up in 30 minutes, DraftKings Network host Claudia Bellafato, betting analyst. She'll join us. We'll get into some NBA postseason action. And where we're going to start here, Michael, is NFL OTAs, because they are underway. We are getting reports already. Aaron Rodgers is perfect. Five different receivers. We've got guys that are on the at the facility, on the practice field, guys that are holding out for the time being. But what does holding out really mean in OTAs? So there's a lot to dive into here.
Well, it's voluntary, so there's really no one holding out. Even if you have a contract, you're not obligated to go, you know, so guys decide not to show. A lot of in and out. You know, there used to be a rule, at least, was either you're all in or you're all out, right? The hard part is when, you know, coaches, can you count on a guy to come in? You know, are you coming today? No, I'm not. That's why when you have off-season workout bonuses within the contracts, you have some uniformity in terms of knowing what to expect, who's going to be there. And if you miss a day, you get a clearance. And even though it's voluntary, you're all in because of it. It's tied to your contract. So, look, don't make too much out of it. And when you have incomplete passes, you should be alarmed because there is no contact. Nobody's contesting a throw down the field. So all this nonsense about Aaron Rodgers is 5 for 5 and 7 on 7. I mean, he should be 5 for 5. He can be over to Ocean City High School and line up with the high school team here today and be 5 for 5. I mean, why not? You know? So it's a little bit blown out of proportion. But I think it also tends to look at, and I'd love to hear what you think, is our love of football and how we scrutinize everything. Like, we just can't get enough of it.
Yeah, that's why when we talked last week with the NFL schedule release coming out, I'm like, we have the NBA and NHL postseason on our screens, yet my timeline on Twitter was filled with NFL content about games that we already knew were happening. Like, we already knew the home and road for each team. It just wasn't the order that we needed to be revealed. And that just goes to show, it's such good evidence what the NFL is, how popular it is, and how invested we are in the sport. And you mentioned the phrase all in a couple times. I know it was unintentional, but it's a perfect transition to the Dallas Cowboys, who, when it comes to OTAs today, do not have CeeDee Lamb out there at the facility, do not have Micah Parsons, both players, obviously, that are high on the priority list for Jerry Jones in Dallas to get under contract. Dak Prescott, still haven't seen anything firm, but he is expected to be there at the Star in Frisco.
Well, I would think he would be. I mean, look, let's face it. He's under contract. He's the team leader. He should be there. CeeDee Lamb is technically under contract. They picked up his fifth year, but we know he's looking for a deal. I think he's waiting for Jefferson to get done. I think he wants to do a deal before Jefferson gets done, because then he can make the case, well, I'm better than Jefferson. Not sure that works, but at least he'll get as close to Jefferson as he can. You know, and same thing with Parsons. I mean, Jerry, when he said he was all in, he was going to open the vault up for Parsons and for Lamb to pay those two, and then have to pay Dak, who's already really overpaid. And I think ultimately Dak is going to continue to get paid, because Dak's sitting there saying, well, Goff got this. Mm-hmm. I should make more than Goff. And maybe he's right. But that's what happens when the league is making so much money. It's got to go to somebody.
Well, and that's what we talked about last week when Jared Goff did get his deal done. The price tag's just going to continue to raise. He's now the second highest player in average annual value, over $200 million for 4 years. 35-year-old Kirk Cousins gets $180 million over 4 years, $100 guaranteed coming off a torn Achilles. And even Baker Mayfield got nine digits, $100 million over 3 years. You have Dak, who's waiting in the wings. You have Tua and Trevor Lawrence, who both, by the way, are there for OTAs despite ongoing contract negotiations there. Jordan Love is going to be coming up soon. Like, just keep going down the list. The price tag is going to get higher and higher for these quarterbacks.
And for kickers, Stormy, Eddie Pinheiro's just holding out. He wants a new deal. I mean, kickers are people too. He's got to get a new deal. I mean, are you kidding me?
Kickers are people too. I mean, that just made my day.
I mean, come on. Like, he's holding out. Are you kidding me? Like, look, I know you need a good kicker. I get it. But Eddie Pinheiro hasn't exactly been, like, Adam Vinatieri or some of the other great kickers in our lifetime. I mean, seriously.
If he keeps holding out,
Michael,
he is
underpaid,
if he keeps going out, just go to the UFL, get Jake Bates from Michigan, baby. He's ready and waiting him multiple 60-plus yarders.
I asked somebody in the league who's going to sign him, and I thought New England would be a team, and they said, no, New England's not in on him. And I'm like, why? Why wouldn't New England be in on this guy? Like, and they brought Joey Silva back. Like, Joey's missed so many kicks in it. He's got a great leg, don't get me wrong. But you, there's no way when he runs out there to make a clutch kick, you're thinking he's got this. There's just no way. I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. But obviously, New England doesn't see it that way. They're going to go with Rylan.
And it's
who killed him last year? Who killed him?
It's fascinating, Michael, in the NFL that there are 32 of these jobs out there, and you still have such a lack of confidence for the bulk of, I feel like, field goal kickers that come out there in the NFL. And I mean, same thing, we talked so much about quarterbacks and injuries last year. There's only so many of these jobs available, yet there's still like a difference in the upper echelon of the league at that position versus the bottom. It's crazy to see the disparity there. But because you talked about CeeDee Lamb waiting for Justin Jefferson, Jefferson also not there at OTAs for the Minnesota Vikings, but I think that's interesting that CeeDee Lamb is going to try to get as close to as possible as what Justin Jefferson gets, because you tell me your opinion on this. Justin Jefferson's the better wide receiver to me, and I think to the majority of the football world. So I don't see a world where CeeDee Lamb is going to get more than that.
Yeah, but you're using logic, Stormy. In this free agent market, there is no logic, right? I mean, there's no way Jared Goff should be the second highest paid quarterback in the league, right? Mm-hmm. He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's not the second best highest paid quarterback. But this is what happens when water seeks its level. When one guy gets a deal, it sets the market for the next guy. And the quality of comparison doesn't really apply. It applies to, I need the guy, here is the market. And you can't really get a guy to take less than market deal. Should Tua be the highest paid quarterback in the league if that comes through? I find that hard to believe. Now, I'm sure some people would argue they think that's right. I don't. However, that being said, it's just look at the NBA. I mean, look how many guys are making money in the NBA that haven't the value of what they bring. It's by the TV deal. We get so caught up in the money. But the money is proportional to the income that they're bringing in. And you have to always quantify that.
So let's go down that road a little bit deeper, Michael, because today's What's on Michael's Mind is actually framed about the NBA and in relation to NFL and some of the dollars and cents that are going to some of these players. Take us through it.
Well, you know, look, somebody put out a list, and I forget where I saw this, where they had the highest paid NBA players that are still in the playoffs. And there's only one, Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. Think about that. You know, Steph Curry at $52 million, Embiid at $46, $47, LeBron, the Joker, Bradley Beal, Durant, Lillard, Giannis, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I mean, the Clippers have $90 million, $91 million, guys they barely see on the court. I mean, it's must be pretty good to be a billionaire to watch $90 million, just never see it play, right? And so, like, you wonder, like, at what point do you get your money value back? Now, look, I understand part of the equation is they bring eccentric value to the league. People are paying for this. The prices go up. They deserve it. Completely agree. But like I said yesterday in coaching is when you get paid, there's an expectation. Like Deshaun Watson has a huge expectation on his plate because he can't keep being $250 million guaranteed and not produce wins. At some point, you have to produce wins. LeBron produced wins. You know, some of these guys are getting paid for past performance, not for future endeavors. Whereas, you know, guys like Goff, he's going to have to win a Super Bowl, right? Or else he's going to look at he made a lot of money. Guys like Embiid, you can't be the second highest paid player in the league and not even get to the Eastern Finals. Think about it. So at some point, the level of expectation, and I think the NFL, as these numbers continue to go up, there's going to be less tolerance for people that are making this kind of money without delivering wins.
Yeah, I think that's a great example in comparison that where we're at, like pay does not always equal performance. And you think about some of those marquee contracts that have gone bad. You mentioned Deshaun Watson, but Ezekiel Elliott, when he gets paid in Dallas, like that's probably why Jerry Jones has all the emotional damage that he does about paying players right now. But it's a great point. And because Jared Goff did so recently get paid and the Lions have made such steady steps of getting closer and they make an NFC championship this past year, they have it in their grasp and let it fall away. You need to get back there. You need to keep continuing to take those steps forward. You have the experience on that stage. You have to continue to grow. And now it's not only Goff that's paid, it's Penei Sewell. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. And we've talked a lot this week and last about the hunger you need to maintain after your guys do make that payday.
No question. And at some point you want to win. You have to win. It really only comes down to winning, right? It only comes down to, did we win a title? You know, for all the money San Francisco's paid for all their skill players, they got to win.
Hey.
And they've gotten to the two Super Bowls they haven't been able to come through, right? You got to win. And they've won. You know, same thing with the Chiefs. I mean, look, the Chiefs get rid of Tyreek Hill and they win two Super Bowls. Think about that for a moment.
I know, Michael, but I didn't expect you to throw the 49ers under the bus there just now, okay? But you're 100% right. It just hurts my soul. And I joked about this with Elliot earlier.
But they have won, though. My point is they have won. They've gotten there, right? I mean, it isn't like they haven't gotten there. They've got to – they just haven't been able to – they've had leads in the fourth quarter of those games. They just haven't been able to close them out. They're completely different than, say, like, you know, a team that's like – that has spent a ton of money that hasn't come through.
They've gotten there, but the window is closing. And eventually, you're going to have to figure out what to do with the wide receiver room. Eventually, you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And so I just keep thinking about it from that standpoint. You've gotten there, but you haven't won. And the Kansas City Chiefs are a team that used to be very likable and that I enjoyed a lot after those Super Bowls. And I mean, all the offseason craziness that they've had, too, becoming less likable by the day. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our VSiN annual subscription at an unreal price, usually $240. You can grab a full subscription now for just $199. Sign up today, because we're also giving you an extra 2 months for free if you do. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, but you got to use that promo code Lombardi. Welcome back into this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And this is the time of year, Michael, in the NFL offseason where everybody's excited about their team. There's all this optimism, but only a handful are actually going to go on to make the playoffs. Only one is going to win the Super Bowl. So we wanted to go through some of these perceived contenders and teams that have a lot of hype around them right now and see if we as bettors should believe the hype or not. Sound good?
Sounds perfect to me. There's a lot of hype. We know that. Everybody loves everybody, right?
We are going to start with the hype train of all hype trains, everybody's favorite team in the New York Jets, led by Aaron Rodgers, who's back off Achilles surgery. Robert Saleh said in his Tuesday press conference yesterday, by the way, Rodgers is doing everything. He'll have no restrictions during OTAs. We joked about the report off the top of the show here that he's 5 for 5 to 5 different receivers. He's apparently putting on a show out there at OTAs and 5 on 5 and 7 on 7, all the things. Is this a team that people should believe the hype on?
They certainly should. I mean, look, let's face it. The guy is a good player. He was a good player. And the hype is centered around the 21-22 season. The 20 and 21 season. The 22 season wasn't good enough, right? And so the 23 season, we never saw him. So we know that he's coming off a bad year in Green Bay and then the injury. So I do think they deserve the hype. They are good on defense, right? They have made some adjustments to their offensive line, which should help. And Rodgers will certainly help them by getting rid of the football very quickly. However, that being said, there's a lot of if factors to the Jets' hype, right? If they can stay healthy. I do think it's smart that the league put them in a lot of games early to get a taste for what they're going to become, because if they have certain injuries at certain positions, this could fall apart pretty quickly.
Win total for the Jets, 9.5. It is juiced to the over at -130. New York, just for reference, hasn't had more than 7 wins in a season since 2015. They have the longest playoff drought in American major professional sports right now. Yet the hype and expectations, to your point, are sky high, and rightfully so because of the talent that they have on their team. Early on in the season, though, DraftKings has wins in their first 5 games. The favorite of this board right now for the Jets is for them to come out of those first 5 with 3 wins. They're at San Francisco to start off the season on Monday night, at Tennessee on the short week, versus New England, versus Denver, and against Minnesota in an international game. So certainly 3 to 4 very winnable games there. We've talked about how San Francisco is hot and cold in season openers. If you had to pick one of these numbers that stood out to you for how many wins they would have through the first 5 weeks, what stands out?
I would say 3 at +160.
Okay.
You know, they should be able to come back. They beat the Titans, beat the Patriots. You know, the Broncos game will be a challenge. And then, you know, between the Broncos and the Vikings, they got to split one of those and you get it.
Okay. For them to go winless in the first 5, 50-1, 1 win, 10-1, 2 wins, 3-1, 3, like we said, +160.
It's hard for them to go winless.
I think so too.
I can't imagine they could go winless.
They're too good. Yeah. I mean, you get.
What would you play? What would you play? 3 or 4?
I actually think 4 is pretty reasonable. If all goes to plan,
yeah.
If all goes to plan for this team right out the gates, I think 4 is actually very much so in play. But 3 +160, 4 +200. How about the Atlanta Falcons? Let's stick with quarterbacks that are coming off of Achilles surgery. Kirk Cousins, by the way, claims he's good to go. He said on the Dan Patrick show this week, "I've told people for a while that if the Super Bowl were today, I'm playing." Well, how about if the regular season were today? How would you be doing, Kirk? Their win total set at 9.5, juiced to the over as well, -135. High expectations for this Falcons team. Should we believe the hype?
Yeah, no, I don't think we believe the hype here.
They're
just not good enough on. I mean, are we sure they're good on defense? Are we sure they are? I mean, that's the problem I have. Now, look, I think Raheem Morris is going to help him, no question, as a defensive coordinator. Jimmy Lake's there with him. He's also from the Rams. Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator. I think we're not sure whether Cousins is going to be the right player. Is the offensive line going to be good enough? Do they have a home field advantage? I think there's a lot of hype here. I mean, this is the same hype last year. I think everybody's over-evaluated Atlanta. Atlanta thought they were one player away. I'm not sure of that.
For their first 5 wins, the season opens up against the Steelers. They're at the Eagles. Then they have the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs against the Saints and against the Bucks. How many wins would you expect them to have as you're looking at that schedule? That's the harder part of their schedule, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. They don't have it easy. They don't have it easy. Boy, this is a tough one here. I'll go 3 in the first 5. What do you think?
Yeah, I was saying, so it depends if you're believing the hype. If you're believing the hype, you think 3, 4 at least, right? If you're not believing the hype, you probably say 2. Say the Steelers are going to be really tough out. At Philadelphia is hard. Kansas City, you mark that as an L, right? Like, it just depends on which view you have of this team. I'm not sure yet. I think I'm going to use those early season games as a radar for me of whether or not I should believe the hype. But as of the preseason, I'm not confident. You got a 35-year-old coming off an Achilles. We don't know what we're going to get from the defense, as you referenced. I don't have the confidence there in the preseason right now, coming off a 7-win season. Again, the win total for the Falcons, 9.5, an odds-on favorite in the NFC South at -130. The Chicago Bears, Michael, another team that has struggled for years and years and years, yet has a ton of expectations and hype around them with the number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams, coming to town. They also get another toy to play with in the top 10, Roma Dunze. Lots of offensive talent and a defense. They really stepped up their game the back end of last season. Their win total set at 8.5, -165, the juice on the over here. Are we believing the early hype in Chicago?
Well, I think they're going to be much improved. They got to stay healthy. I would say let's buy it. Let's tentatively buy it. Two road games to start out the season, not easy, right? Houston at Indianapolis. They play two teams that they have really no familiarity with at all. Houston from the AFC South, Indianapolis from the AFC South. They come back and play NFC opponents, and then they end up before the bye week, another AFC South team. So three of their five opponents, they really don't have any relationship with in terms of continuation of play. I think to me, if they can win two of the five to start off, I think that's pretty damn good, to be honest with you, Stormy.
Yeah, I'm with you
there.
Can
they beat the Panthers? Yeah. Can they beat the Jags? I think the Rams will be a hard game. Matthew Stafford coming back into Soldier Field. He knows how to play in there. You know, you're hoping they could split one of those games in Houston or in Indianapolis. Rookies on the road. I mean, we saw that last year. As good as Stroud was, he struggled early in the year on the road.
I was thinking of those five games. Two, you can certainly feel pretty good about locking in if you believe they're going to carry over in a positive way from last season, Tennessee and Carolina. And then it's a matter of if you can split with Houston and Indy, because I personally would think the Rams would be a loss, and I think the Texans is going to be a loss, but Indy could be a win. So I would say two or three to have two wins for the Bears, plus 370, three in the first five, plus 215. Let's talk about those Houston Texans, though, because CJ Stroud throwing no-look passes today, according to reports on Twitter coming out of their OTAs.
Of course.
Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter might not be there right now, but they will be. Lots of weapons, expectations that this Houston team is going to take another step forward. They're a plus 110 favorite in the division, minus 140, the juice on the over for 9.5 wins. So a double digit plus win season for a team that won a playoff game a year ago. Are we believing the hype? Will they continue to build?
Yeah, I think they will. They got a good team. They got a good young quarterback, right? So, you know, and they play the Hall of Fame game, which is interesting. They have the four preseason games, which gives them a chance, not that Stroud's going to play in it, but to work through some of this, because they've got a roster of a lot of depth in terms of trying to figure out who should make the team and who shouldn't. You know, they open up at home against Chicago. They got to go to Minnesota. You know, they should be 2-0 coming home against Jacksonville. That's a game they have to win at home. Buffalo at home is going to be like a Super Bowl for them, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Sunday at 1. Think about that. It's going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock, that game. Then they go to New England. I mean, they should be 4-1 after five games. That's plus 250. Plus, you know, three at plus 185. I mean, there's going to probably be an upset somewhere in there. Because remember now, Stormy, everybody has spent a lot of time studying this Houston Texan team.
Yeah.
They're all over them. I mean, they're going to have to do something different to kind of play a different style or a different look to keep people off of what they want to do.
And there's a difference, too, between last year where you've got a new coaching staff, a rookie quarterback, and everybody's just hopeful that you do okay. Now you have expectations. You were a 10-win team a year ago. You won a critical playoff game in round one. People think that you're going to be poised to repeat in the division. Like, the way that you're perceived is very different now. So how do you handle that ultimately? Okay, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we return on the Lombardi Line, DraftKings Network host and betting analyst Claudia Bellafato stops by to drop some knowledge on the NBA and NHL postseason. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Lombardi Line, in addition to watching and listening to VSiN Live each and every day, don't forget about all the betting tools and information at your disposal on VSiN.com. We've got best bets from every show host and guest, betting splits, pro tips, and trends. And right now on the homepage, VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel's got previews, picks, and predictions up for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We've got daily write-ups in the NHL, MLB, WNBA, and of course, plenty of NFL offseason content. Michael Lombardi writing weekly columns. Adam Burke this week posted a blueprint for all 18 weeks of Survivor, and there's a whole lot more. VSiN.com, your one-stop shop for all things betting. Back here on the Lombardi Line, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We'll welcome in Claudia Bellafato in a moment to dive into some of these NBA playoff series, Michael. And I'll get your opinion real quickly before. She is, of course, out there in Boston. She's followed the Celtics closely for years as a fan. And I'll ask her this as well, but your perspective, big picture on the Celtics, because of the path that laid out for them, honestly, like, how big of a failure will it be if they don't win the NBA finals at this point? Like, I know nothing's over until it's over, but it feels like so much set up for them this season.
Well, I think the failure would be if they don't get to the finals. I mean, if Indiana, I mean, they've had a walk in the park to get to Indiana, right? I mean, Miami's hurt, right? I mean, Cleveland doesn't have Donovan Mitchell. If they can't get to the finals. Now, look, I don't think we give – I mean, what Will Hill said about Dallas, I don't think people – JVT preached it for a while. That's why it's so important to buy the guide and put the Lombardi code in there to get the discount because, you know, there's a lot of data in there that supports Dallas being here and a lot of data that supports Minnesota being here. They're two really good teams. They'll give Boston – whatever team comes from the West will give Boston everything they want to handle. And I almost would be tempted to play them against Boston because everybody just thinks it's a foregone conclusion that Boston's going to win the world title. I'm not, because one thing they haven't been is tested. Yeah. They haven't been really tested, have they?
No doubt about it. Well, let's get Claudia's opinion on here. Claudia Belafato joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, DraftKings Network host and betting analyst. You can catch her in the mornings right now on Gojo and Golic. Also done a great job with DK's The Sweat. But Claudia, you tell me, a lot of pressure on this Boston Celtics team right now, but rightfully so, because they haven't gotten over this hump and won an NBA title yet. How big of a failure in your mind would it be if they don't close this out?
Huge, Starmie. And the big worry too is if you don't win it, you're going to have to blow the team up because you got to pay Tatum. Brown's already the highest paid player in the NBA. You got to pay Derek White. This is the year. And Michael's 100% right. They haven't been tested. And this is a Pacers squad that's playing with house money. That's one of the scariest things in any sport. When you have all of this expectations, all of the eyes on you, and you're going up against a Pacers squad that has seven guys deep averaging double digits. They're going to run you up and down the floor. If you take your foot off the pedal like the Celtics like to do, they're going to make you pay for it. So I agree with Michael. If we're looking at the West, man, I love this Timberwolves team. And in the end, I would pick the Timberwolves over the Celtics. I don't know about the Pacers in this series. I think there's a reason Boston's, you know, 1,000 favorites. But I do think the Pacers could take this to seven. I do.
What is the one prop play you're looking for to play in the series starting tonight?
Yeah, I think no Porzingis, which it sounds like he's out for at least one or two games, is going to be big in terms of the paint presence for the Pacers, who have been great, one of the best teams at attacking that rim. I look at Miles Turner, who is great inside and out, you know, taking over four threes a game, but he's leading the squad in rebounds. So the second chance opportunities have been huge for him. The consistency has been there, cashing all but two of the last seven, but specifically just the opportunity, I think, is going to be there. I'm going to be very curious to see how the Celtics adjust defensively to how this Pacers team works, because like I said, they are able to show you a lot of different looks with a lot of different players. So I do like Turner. I think this number might be a little bit too low for him at 15.5. Pascal Siakam too at 19.5 points. He's been consistent, huge for them in that last game to get here. And then as far as Tatum goes, I'm looking at the prices here. Double-double at minus 155. You can find it closer to 230 at other shops. So if you shop around, I do think that's pretty low for what it should be. He's been consistently doing that, specifically against this team, though. We saw this matchup a lot in four games against the Pacers, averaging over 32, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 29 in the hook points. I always stay away from his points, but maybe a combo situation for him. Points plus rebounds is something I'd go to, because I'm sure you guys know, as you watch these Celtics games, if he is not hitting his shot, he is very much okay with just stepping away from those shots and becoming more facilitator. So combo is usually the way I go with him.
Yeah, and the Celtics, a big favorite tonight, laying 10 right now. The last double-digit conference final spread we saw was 2017 with the Warriors against the Spurs, laying 10. Final in that score, just for note, 113 to 111. Now, you mentioned the Minnesota Timberwolves and them being a team that could give Boston a run for their money come the finals. They're a minus 170 favorite in the set against the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, a huge Game 7 comeback win for them on the road. Can they carry that over in Game 1? What's your approach to this one here? Timberwolves laying 4, total 207.
Yeah, when they opened 3.5 at some shops, I said jump on that. I'm not surprised it got to 4. Not crazy movement. I'd probably still lay that, to be honest. I love this Mavs squad too, which makes it tough for me because I really believe in Luka. It's been good to see Kyrie show up. I just think the Timberwolves are a little bit more hungry. They got a little bit more of that dog, which I use that term as if it's a statistic. But I do think this will come down to rebounding and defense, and that's what the big edge that Minnesota does have, top defense in the regular season. In this postseason, they're rebounding at the highest rate. So I like the Timberwolves a lot in this spot. And honestly, if you can catch them live, same thing for Boston. If they get behind early, that number comes down from where it is at 10. That's probably the only way I would attack them because I don't necessarily trust them with the double digits. But same thing with the Timberwolves. You know, if the Mavs get up early, you can get them at any type of plus money. I jump on that for sure.
And how about Karl-Anthony Towns? You mentioned the rebounding, the defensive effort for the Timberwolves. You like him over his rebounding total tonight, tomorrow night?
I do, yeah. DraftKings, you can get it at even money. It's really the opposite when it comes to rebounding for Dallas. They're allowing the fifth most, at least they did in the regular season. Of course, you'd look to Rudy Gobert as the first name that comes to mind for this squad. 12 in the hook is a little bit high for me, so I think this is good value to get 9 or more for Kat. At even money, like I said, that's what he's averaging 9 a game. He's had 12 or more rebounds in all but 2 of the last 6. And I think he's become really comfortable with this position of sort of being, you know, second fiddle to Ant. So I think he's fitting that role well of getting that hustle on the boards more so than the point. So yeah, I look to rebounds for him.
And Claudia, you know, we are an NFL show with the former GM on the desk with me each and every day. When the NFL schedule came out last week, I know you and Gojo and the gang really dove into a lot of those early season games, lots of the positional, situational spots that would come out in the schedule. Was there anything from week one or a win total that adjusted in your head after the schedule came out?
Yeah, man, give me a touchdown with the Cardinals. Okay. I don't know if it's just me wanting to fade the Bills, finally saying maybe, well, not that the Patriots have a chance in that division, but maybe the Bills won't be as tough as they have been with some of the offseason moves, losing Diggs. I just look at this Cardinals team, and the Bills may win, that's fine, but if you're going to give me 7 with hopefully a Kyler Murray that feels a little bit better heading into this season healthy, Marvin Harrison Jr., I thought it was one really interesting stat that despite their, you know, record last year, Cardinals had more wins over playoff teams than Miami and the Chiefs combined. And I think with the additions they made in the offseason, yeah, they're a dog that I'd be looking at, especially with those key numbers. As you guys know, if you're going to hang a 7 with a squad that made those moves in the offseason, I'm probably going to take it.
So today on Golic and Golic, you got into a serious debate about Oreo cookies, and Stormy over here contributed to it too, which we did not know. Where did you end up on this debate? I know Stormy was like pretty strong in a way. Why don't you explain it, Stormy? I didn't realize this about you.
Yeah, Stormy has to, because I can't go back on that one.
Hold on. I need Claudia's opinion on this first. So where do you stand on the Oreo debate, period?
Nowhere near how you stand, Storm, because I didn't really have an opinion. I usually just knock them back, you know, pretty boring. And then you come out with this mad breakdown. You need to explain to the people who haven't heard.
Thank you, Claudia. I can appreciate that. My husband has made fun of me for years. He calls me a 9-year-old the way that I eat my food and dessert, and especially Oreos. I make like a little Oreo house. I take 6 double stuffed Oreos. You crack open a couple of them so that you have 2 quadruple stuffed Oreos. Then you have 2 standard double stuffed. And then you have like a giant all cookie sandwich of all 4. Now, every step of the Oreos need to be completed with milk. Let's make sure that we prioritize that as a part of this as well. But I have always eaten Oreos this way. I also think standard Oreos are a disgrace and double stuff should be the standard. Just throwing that out there.
Michael, so I'm pretty sure Stormy impressive. Is just great at everything she does, and now she can add Oreo connoisseur to that resume. So I'm truly blown away.
I mean, what a breakdown. I mean, it's an incredible breakdown. She can do hockey. She can do it all. She is versatile. There's
come
no question.
For the football, thank you, Claudia. Come for the football, NBA, and betting content. Stay for the food and Oreo takes. Claudia, you're awesome. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Follow her on X at CBellafato TV and make sure you check her out on Gojo and Golic each and every weekday right now. We'll be right back wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line after a quick timeout.
This- This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champion, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. If you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN. The crown is yours. Speaking of the NBA, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals upon us coming up tonight. The Boston Celtics, a 10-point home favorite against the Indiana Pacers, which leads me to our pro tip of the day here, Michael. And for any of our new viewers or listeners, we do pro tips each and every day here on the show. Every show at VSIN does. They're searchable on VSIN.com by sport and by show. But our pro tip today having to do with this spread and potentially just worth being wary of the Boston Celtics laying such a big number here, considering this is a Pacers squad that we know has a very high octane offense. This is the first double digit spread we have seen in a conference finals game one since 2017, a game that ultimately was decided by 2 points. And this Boston Celtics team, Michael, we talked about it, has faced a little bit of a layoff here, and they haven't faced a team that's been at full strength yet this postseason. This will be their first real test we've seen in the playoffs.
No question. And without Porzingis, that this will be the test, right? Because we know Porzingis is a huge factor in their good defense, right? And now this Indiana team, I mean, look, the last two games they're playing confident. They shot the ball 67% from the field against the Knicks team. Now, we know the Knicks were beat up, but I think they learned something. Look, we know Boston is at minus 1,000 is going to win the series, but there's going to be some resistance by Indiana, and I don't think you want to get caught on the wrong side of that. Remember, the two games without Donovan Mitchell, it wasn't a walk in the park for them either, right? I mean, it was hard. They struggled to beat. I mean, they ended up pushing or covering in the last game, but I think the reality of it was that, you know, those games went down to the wire, and it was the last 4 minutes that became an issue. So this will be a challenge for them, and I don't think they can take Indiana lightly, and I'm sure they're not.
And to that point, like, Boston has lost at least one game in each of these series, so betting the Celtics in a sweep, probably not the smartest way either, because they do have at least one of those games each series where it feels like they take their foot off the gas for whatever reason and don't play to their capabilities. Again, a 10-point favorite tonight, total 221.5. You mentioned the gigantic series spread. We have seen that come down a tick. They're not minus 1,000 anymore, just minus 900, so bet $900 in order to win 100 back. The total games I did have intrigue with at over 5.5, just because of what we talked about here with them already knowing that they have lost a game in each of the previous series. The Pacers, we feel like, are going to be their biggest test of the set. I think they could potentially win two games here, especially with how that offense clicks at home. The price there, plus 145 to go over 5.5 games. Celtics to win 4-1 is plus 190. Celtics to win 4-2, 4-1. They're also a minus 150 favorite to win the NBA title. And if you're into those exact matchups and exact results type things, and you're trying to find a good price on the Celtics to win it without having to lay juice, plus 150. 50 for Boston to beat the Timberwolves in the NBA Finals, plus 240 to beat the Mavericks. Again, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. Let's close out the show, though, talking a little more NFL, because one of the press conferences that we didn't really get to dive into much is for the team that was only the worst in the entire NFL last year. But Dave Canales hit the podium in Carolina talking about his young quarterback, Michael. And I thought some of this was pretty interesting. So I'll read you the exact quote here. He said, "Bryce Young is doing fantastic with learning the Panthers' new offense." He said, "For us, formations are pretty vanilla right now, so we can just teach the concept we want out of each route, the depth, the footwork we want." And Young also told reporters he likes having one primary voice in his ear right now. He called it super important. And especially after he had both Frank Reich and Thomas Brown as play callers, how important is that to have that singular voice in Canales?
You know, it's the most important thing ever. Walsh used to say there's only one person talking to the quarterback, right? And that was him. Or, you know, if he had a quarterback coach, that was him. And those two were on the same page. And Walsh was going to call the plays, but The voice in that quarterback's ear can only be one voice. There can't be any misinterpretation. And you could see it in the play calling. You could see it in the instruction in Carolina last year. Look, I think Canales is – whatever Bryce Young is, we're going to get the best version of that. And frankly, I don't think Bryce Young is a total waste. You know, of all the quarterbacks last year, he was the smallest one and stayed the healthiest and got the crap beat out of him. Right? He got the crap beat out of him. If they protect, he'll make a lot of throws. He'll do some really good things. I don't think he's a blown pick by no means. I mean, this isn't Mitchell Trubisky here. This is a good player who's undersized. I get it and understand that. But he's still a good player, and I think that Canales will get something out of him. They've got more running backs, I think, than they know what to do with. They've got to get that offensive line to play at a higher level, which can't be that difficult, right? And their defense should play better. I mean, this is a whole new staff in terms of the head coach. The defensive structure is staying the same, and I believe they'll be better. So, look, they were so poorly coached from the beginning. Mm-hmm. From the very onset, there were so many different factors that were going into that team. The owner's involvement, you know, we had the offensive, you know, the head coach, the offensive line, all those things. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl by no means, Stormy, but I think they're going to be well improved, and I think they're going to show that in the win column. They're not going to be an easy out, right? They're just not going to be.
Yeah, last season was a mess, and it already just feels more together, whether that is like David Tepper just admitting he needs to be more hands-off and not talking to media consistently. We look at what Dave Canales did with Baker Mayfield last year to revitalize his career, and I love what you said about Bryce Young, because so much talk of him through the pre-draft and draft process was how slight he is. You looked at him even last year in rookie minicamp and OTAs, talking about just how tiny he looked by comparison to the players on the offensive line and the D-lines coming at him. He got beat up last year and was tough as nails, consistently got up. He was the one that stood tall and stayed healthy. And they did so much. They're doing everything possible to try to give this man a chance in his sophomore season. They paid a ton of money to those two new guards, Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. You trade for Deontay Johnson. You draft Xavier Leggett, Jonathan Brooks, that tight end as well. And you bring in a coach that's poised to teach quarterbacks. Like, they're not going to be 2-15 next year. It's not going to be easy, but their win total set at 4.5. They play in one of the easiest divisions in football on paper. Like, why can't they win a handful of games?
And then add the fact that he's not going to fire a coach after 1 year again, right?
Right.
And so it's a little bit like what we said. What did we say last year at this time about DeMeco Ryans? That the Houston Texans weren't firing DeMeco after one bad year, right?
Right.
They fired David Culley. They fired Lovie Smith. And now all of a sudden they kept DeMeco Ryans. We knew he was going to stay for a while. So Canales, with a 6-year contract, he's not going anywhere. Right? He's not going to go anywhere. And the quarterback, you know, what happens is we get this pile-on effect, right? All of a sudden, you know, there's no in-between. It's either you're good or you're horrible. Mm-hmm. And there is an in-between in this. And I think you have to pay close attention to the in-between. Now, again, I'm not saying they're going to go win a Super Bowl or they're going to be the Houston Texans of this year. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. But, like, look, they beat the Atlanta Falcons last year in a rain game with, you know, that was disgusting. And we all think the Atlanta Falcons are the greatest team in America. Everybody saw, we got to go bet the Falcons. They're undervalued. I mean, I know it was not all Arthur Smith's fault last year or Desmond Ridder. There was more there than meets the eye. So I just think we tend to overextend ourselves. And the fact what he said was so important, Stormy, I only have one voice in my ear, yeah. Which he's telling us. There was so much confusion. There was so much uncertainty that even playing the position had to be really hard going into a game.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard, too, that you go from two new head coaches for a rookie quarterback in 2 years, right? As a franchise, they've had 3 head coaches in the last 3 years, 3 coaching staff. They don't have any continuity right now. This is the first step where, as you said, Dave Canales isn't just going to get 1 year. This is going to be a full-blown rebuild, retool as they go over the next couple of years, but it makes sense for them to take a good step this year. I know that I am a homer to an extent, and I want this team to have success. And I did cover Bryce Young in college, and I want him to have success because I think he's really, really talented. And I know the way that Bill O'Brien and the way that Nick Saban talked about Bryce Young and his acumen for the game and his abilities. And I just want to see that on display so badly for him. Mm-hmm. Again, the win total for the Panthers, 4.5. I wouldn't really look at any of those other division odds, though. 15-1 is a
me
bit
either,
much.
But I think you're right. What you just said there, that's a passionate case. The kid's got a lot of pride.
Yeah.
He wants to prove people wrong. Like, he didn't get those endorsements from those coaches because he just happened to be there.
Said he has a brilliant mind when it comes to football. Great show, as always, my friend. I will see you tomorrow. Stay tuned
you,
right
Stormy.
Here on VSiN. Yes. Patrick Maher and Sharp Money coming up next.